Well, hello, folks, and welcome to this painful edition of My Car Guru. I'm not doing anything radical. I'm just in pain. Yeah, I have a pinched nerve, apparently, in my spinal column up around my neck, and it is wreaking havoc on my shoulder blade, underneath my arm, underneath my shoulder, armpit, and all the way down my arm, and then my ring finger and my pinky finger go numb or tingle all the time. Doesn't that sound like fun? I'm just glad I bought an extended warranty for my body. Now I've got good health insurance. Tomorrow I get an MRI, and they did x-rays yesterday. And so they said, well, you know, these gaps aren't what they should be, especially this one. Looks like it could be crushing down on a nerve. I said, what do you do about that? He said, well, let's get an MRI first. I don't think he wanted to answer the question, so I really don't know. But whatever it is, we'll do it because I'm not putting up with this pain. I'm just glad it's not. I can't imagine having it in lower back where a lot of people get that sciatica. Is that what it's called? You know, where they have a pinched nerve in the lower back. I've seen people just, I mean, that's very debilitating. This just hurts all the time. I can still do everything except I'm a guitar picker and I finger pick. And so I'm sensing on my ring finger and my pinky finger, they're just not responding normally. And plus my handwriting is messed up. I can definitely feel it. So I'm a little bit concerned about that, but we'll get it fixed. Okay. On today's show, we're going to be talking about things that you should do or can do or should not do after you buy a new car. You know, we talk a lot about a lot of different things. And yeah, I've talked about everything from extended warranties. You know, what happens in the finance office after you say yes and you go into the finance office? You know, what kind of products should you buy in there? We're only going to touch on one of those. And then, you know, we talk a lot about maintenance and stuff like that, things you need to do to just make sure that your car stays in good shape and that, you know, you're able to protect your resale value. Really, that's what you're doing. I mean, you're enjoying the car and using the car and it's getting you from point A to point B. But if all you do is maintain it, follow the maintenance schedule, keep good records, and, you know, fix things when they break and, maintain the car, then it's going to retain its value better than if you don't. We see it every day. You know, we sell a lot of cars here at Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan. And when people get, sometimes they get an appraisal and they say, wow, I didn't think my car was worth that much. And other times they say, are you kidding? What's wrong with my tires? You know, oh, they're just completely worn out. Or, and you know, you got a busted windshield, you got that big tear in the seat. It also doesn't smell really good. You got to be careful with that one on the interior. And we're going to have to pull the seats out. And sometimes you don't tell people how extensive the reconditioning process is going to be because you don't want to offend them. But my goodness, you should see the inside of some people's cars. It's bad. Okay, so let's talk about things that you can do, should do, might not want to do after you buy the car. And we'll start that here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Let's talk about things that you should do to the interior of your car. Number one, if you buy a car with no floor mats or with carpeted floor mats, throw them away or just, you know, use them for, I don't know, doormats going into your house and buy WeatherTech floor mats. Now, if let's say you're buying a Honda Accord and Honda sells a nice rubberized floor mat or rubber floor mat that will fits nicely in the floorboard. That's fine. You can buy theirs. I would compare the price. Most new car dealers also sell WeatherTech. We have for probably 15 years, and we sell a lot of WeatherTech floor mats. If you want any, call me. We can get them for any make or model, but they will protect that carpet from spills and dust and dirt and grime and so forth, and they fit perfectly. That's the wonderful thing about WeatherTech. Everything that they make is high quality and American made. So I definitely protect your floor. What about seat protection, fabric protection? Well, if you know, we sell a lot of cars with leather. Most people don't maintain their leather. They don't know that they're supposed to treat it once a year with a nice saddle soap and some conditioner. If you do that, your leather will look good for years, especially where you slide into the driver's seat. because that gets the most traffic. And blue jeans. I had a lady one day said, my leather's turning blue. It was kind of a beige color seats, as I recall. And I looked in there, and they sure are. They're blue. She said, well, that shouldn't do that, should it? I said, well, it kind of depends on what you wear. Obviously, it's the, I don't know what you call it, the dye in your blue jeans. Oh, it can't be. Well, it is. Well, that's, you know, you don't want to offend somebody. So you know what we did? We replaced the bottom seat cover for her. And she was back in a couple months later and said, I guess it is my blue jeans. Because it had done it again. So do you put some type of fabric protector on the cloth fabric? Well, it's supposed to come treated. I know Chevrolet used to treat theirs with Scotchgard. I don't know what the other makers do or whether they're really treated at all. You can buy Scotchgard in a can and you know, just spray it on your seats, or you can pay the dealership. They typically have a thing that they will sell you, but quite honestly, if they sell you a fabric protectant, you know, and they charge you like $3.99 for it, it costs them about, I'd say, a dollar and a quarter to do that, because they're just, you know, spraying around the inside, just like you could do. So you can do that yourself. Just make sure you do it while the seats are new, get them vacuumed and clean and everything, and then put that stuff on. And then redo that once a year. And if you get a stain, treat it. Get it out. You know, there's no reason to leave it there. Okay, what other interior protection? You know, I see people, well, I got beside a lady yesterday. She's driving down the road, and she's got this pink furry thing on her steering wheel. Don't do that. That is not safe. Those things can slide around. There's no way you have as good a control on your steering wheel if you're gripping a pink zebra. Pink zebra? Maybe it wasn't a zebra. Well, it was a zebra stripe, and it was pink and white, so maybe it was a pink zebra. Yeah, I mean, if you want to be stylish and stuff, that's fine, but just don't do it on your steering wheel. So protecting your dash, what can you do? Just Armor All. You know, just any type of, just hit it once a year. Clean your vehicle really good. Take your vehicle to a detail shop. Let them do it if you can afford it. So that's a good thing you can do to the interior. So cover, protect your seats, protect your floorboard with the WeatherTech floor mats and the rest of the vinyl stuff, Armor All, something like that. I don't like the film, the greasiness, anything that doesn't have any of that greasy feel. That's what you can protect it with. Because, you know, the interior is designed to withstand great temperatures. I mean, you can imagine how hot it gets inside of your car in the middle of summer. And it's amazing that that plastic lasts as long as it does. It will last twice as long if you just keep it moisturized, yeah, just like your skin. Okay, exterior protection. You know, a lot of people put these invisible bras on the front of their vehicle. It is a, I hate to even say that, but it is a, basically a protective film that they put just on the front. Now, I've seen folks, you know, back in the old days, they put these air or rain deflectors or air deflectors, whatever, on the edge of their hood. Bad idea. Don't do that. Just use the protective film. Now, you can get it done by, there's a lot of places that do it. The guy across the street from our dealership does it. And he is a sign maker. He does signs and does a lot of stuff with vinyl, does window tinting and stuff. So it's not a bad idea, especially if you have a pretty expensive car. Well, you know, all of them are expensive, I guess. But the paint protection film is expensive as well. So but just do the front edge of your hood. If that's all you can afford, do your front bumper and the front edge of your hood. If you can afford more, just go ahead and do your hood and your front fenders. And maybe your A-pillars and your mirrors, and then you will protect them. You know, you really can't tell that film's on there, and it lasts a long time. So that's a good thing. People do ceramic coating. That's probably the highest level of paint protection. And it's genuine stuff. It's real. It's better, way better than wax. I mean, you can wax your car every 6 months and protect it pretty well. But, you know, so this ceramic really does fill in the little microscopic little canyons and dimples and stuff that's in your paint. And it's hard. It hardens up, and it really does protect your finish. So that's also pretty expensive if you go to one of these specialty shops. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you could have paint protection film, and then they put ceramic on top of that. You could spend anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. Not no sane person is going to do that. I shouldn't say that, but you know, that's a lot of money. I see people do that all the time on like Porsches and Audis and BMWs and, you know, higher end cars. Maybe Lexus owners do that as well. But I do see some value in it, but I don't see that much money. I mean, if you can get a car, the paint protection film on the front part of your car from the windshield forward, and then do the ceramic coating on the whole thing, it might cost $1,500 to $2,000. If it's more than that, I wouldn't do it. I just let nature take its course. Underneath the vehicle, if you're old enough, you probably remember when they used to do undercoating. They don't do that much anymore. I guess up north they do, in the southeast. We don't do it. In the mid-south, I guess that's where we are in Tennessee. And undercoating is not bad if you do it like when it comes from the factory and if it's pretty high-quality job. But most vehicles are undercoated pretty well from the factory anyway. And I just don't know if it's worth the money. Now, the rust-proofing thing, I've seen that really work well, especially north of the Mason-Dixon line. You know where that is? I think it's just north of, I think it's the upper line border of Maryland. Am I wrong? I think I'm right. But the Mason-Dixon line. If you live like Ohio, Pennsylvania, you know, anywhere north of St. Louis, I guess, you know, any place where it snows a lot, you might want to think about that. Rust proofing, I don't even know who offers it now. Rust-Oleum? No. Who was the big rust provider? I can't remember, but they were big. Z-Bart, that's what it was. And so they would drill holes in the different panels on the vehicle and just spray the inside. And the manufacturers did not like that much. They thought it was rather insulting for you to do that because they thought they did an adequate job protecting from rust from the factory, but they really don't. They do now with the different types of metals and stuff that they use now. They don't rust as much, but they still do rust. I have a 1970 Bronco that the original owner must have had a previous Bronco. Mine's a 1970, so they came out in 66. He must have had one that rusted a lot because on this particular one, I understand he was an amateur gemologist, according to his grandson, and he would go out on a lot of dirt roads out in Utah and Idaho and places like that. And so apparently there were a lot of rock chips and things, and that started the rust. Well, if you look underneath this Bronco, he has taken extra metal and I guess used tin snips and fashioned it so it would fit and protect all of the underside of the wheel or the wheel well and lots of places along the frame. I mean, this guy was, I mean, he was passionate about not having his Bronco rust. So he must have had a bad experience with the previous one. I mean, those cars from the 70s, 60s and 70s, they rust if you just look at them funny. And so he recognized that. And so I guess that's one reason why, you know, here this 1970 Bronco that I have is absolutely rust-free. And so I need to thank him. I would if he was still alive. Okay, what else? Oh, mechanical stuff. So you buy a new car. Why don't you just leave it alone? Because people don't like to leave that. They like to personalize stuff, like putting pink zebra fabric on their steering wheel. A lot of people tint their windows. I'm not a window tinter fan. I joke about it. I said, I want people to see the person driving this cool car. But that's not really why I don't like it. I just don't like it dark inside my car. And so, you know, I'm not a big window tint fan, but I just sold a Bronco Raptor out of the showroom. And the guy says, can you get it tinted for me? And I said, sure. You know, so they put that strip along the windshield and they typically tint the windows to an illegal level. Everybody wants it really, really dark because they think it looks cool. And to that, you know, whatever they think, that's fine. It's their vehicle. So that's not really a mechanical thing, but I did want to bring that up. That is something that a lot of folks do. You know, the dealerships typically have somebody that will do that. You don't have to have that done on your own. Matter of fact, before you take delivery of the vehicle, you can have that done for you. Just make sure they're not charging you too much. I mean, this guy, our window tender, charged me for the two side windows and the strip across the windshield. He charged me $100, and I marked it up just a little bit, like Sherwood Chevrolet used to do. We mark them up just a little bit. So I did it for $125. That's not too bad, is it? Okay, I don't think so. Most people would charge $200 for that. As far as mechanical changes to a brand new car, don't go using, you know, trying to upgrade the power and stuff like that. That's highly not recommended because the manufacturer will void your warranty if they find out that you've been jacking around with the programming on their cars. Most of the time you see somebody do that, it's on a car that's already out of warranty, or they just don't care. They just want it to go fast. You know, some people, they'll take a perfectly normal, nice engine and put a turbocharger on it just to give it more power. One of the things that I kind of like is a cold air intake. So this is basically a freer flowing air system rather than just your regular breather for your engine. They just put a cold air intake, and it allows more air to get into your engine. It does just a fine job filtering out the impurities, but just because of the way it's shaped, it allows the airflow to be improved and gives you a little bit more horsepower and better fuel economy, some people say. As far as other mechanical changes to your vehicle, you know, other than electronics such as stereo systems and stuff, car stereo systems are so good right now that I don't know why anybody would need to upgrade them. And these sophisticated speaker systems that they put in. My F-150, I think it has 18 speakers in it. And they're from a company called Bang & Olufsen. It says B&O. Sounds like a railroad. Baltimore and, was it B&O? I can't remember. There was a railroad something. Maybe it was B&O. But anyway, the Bang & Olufsen. And that was a Swedish company. I mean, there was another Swedish company when I was growing up in the 70s called Harman Kardon, and a lot of car companies use Harman Kardon stereo systems. They use Pioneer and Kenwood and stuff like that. You know what the funny thing is? They're all owned by one company. I can't remember the name of that company, but they are the distributor for all of those different brands. Bose is another one. They're not owned by anybody. But you'll see a lot of Bose sound systems. But if you have a, you know, an inferior sound system, you can always upgrade your system. But if you buy anything mid-grade, like a XLT Chevy or XLT Ford truck on up, it's going to have a pretty nice stereo system in it. So there's no real reason to change that. That used to be a really big deal. I remember when we were Mazda dealers back in the early 80s, up through about 88, somewhere in that neighborhood. We used to sell a ton of these little Mazda pickup trucks. They were called Mazda B2000 and B2200. And most of them were two-wheel drive short beds, regular cabs. And the first thing we do when they dropped them off is we'd put stripes on them, not always pinstripes. We'd stripe them up, we would lower them, and then we would put different wheels and tires on them. And those things, we would sell anywhere from 25 to 30 Mazda trucks a month. I mean, that was a lot, you know, for us. And so that's just what people wanted, and typically dealers will do that. Most dealers have some type of an accessory department. So, you know, while you're killing time, if you're in a dealership, let's say you're in a Toyota dealership and you're thinking about buying a Toyota, I don't know, 4Runner. They have an accessory catalog, and while they're appraising your vehicle and looking and doing a bunch of other stuff, you can look at the accessory catalog, and you might be able to get them to throw them in. It's a negotiating tool. The last show I did, I said the best negotiating line you can use is that the best you can do? And if say, yeah, I think it's the best we can do, well, then you can say, well, I guess I'll have to think about it then. But if you were to maybe throw in these running boards right here, I might change my mind today. Well, let me go ask my manager. You know, you're always looking for something to give you a little bit of leverage. Accessories are a big business. The average person who buys a pickup truck will spend, a regular person who buys a pickup truck, they will spend an average of $1,500 in accessories for a pickup truck. So basically you can get a bed cover and that'll eat up $1,500. A lot of trucks today are coming with spray-in bed liners. Folks, that's the way to go. Don't buy one of those plastic liners that you squeeze into the back of the truck because your gas cans will slide around all over the place. Get a sprayed-in bed liner. And my favorite happens to be Line-X. They are thin, but thick enough. I've seen a lot of Rhino linings. I've never been a real big fan of Rhino linings. I'm sure they're fine. But Line-X just seems to be, the texture of it works better. And but try to get it from the factory if you can. If you're ordering a truck, just go ahead and order the factory bedliner. And before I wrap this up, I do want to talk about extended warranty. Should you buy an extended warranty? I had a customer ask me that the other day. He said, Lenny, would you buy an extended warranty if you bought a car? And I said, no. How come? Well, because I don't keep cars very long. I mean, if I were to keep a car for longer than 2 years, or I mean, longer than the factory warranty, I would consider it. Because I personally think that extended warranties or service contracts on automobiles are a great bargain as long as they don't get too crazy with the price. Because as a percentage of the purchase price of the vehicle, they're cheap. I mean, you think about, well, just like the infotainment system, you know, with the radio and all the climate controls and everything, all of that is in one place. You got all the modules that control all that. If that goes out, $3,500 to $7,000, it could be that much. So if you pay $2,500 for a service contract, is it worth it if you have a failure like that? I mean, used to a radio, you could replace a radio for $250. Now it's all made into all that other stuff, and you have to replace it all. So, you know, yeah, buy a service contract. I think it's a good bargain. But, you know, you don't want to pay $4,000 or $5,000 for one. I don't care if it's on a diesel truck or whatever. That's too much. Okay, I'll take my last break. I'll be back here in just a second. Okay, so no pink zebras on your steering wheel. Protect your seats. Protect your interior. To me, that's probably the best thing that you can do. And, you know, you're going to, if you maintain your car properly and keep good records, you're going to maintain the value of your car. Protect your investment. I mean, look at your car as being an investment. Yes, it's going to depreciate. And I know certain things aren't, you know, like houses, they're not supposed to depreciate. And they haven't been. You know, they've been going up like crazy, and cars did as well. But in the real world, going long term, they're going to go down. But you want yours to go down more slowly. And just taking care of it will make a big difference. Don't overpay for extended warranties. And any kind of upgrades that you do, just keep in mind, all of them don't add value. They may add value to you. They may personalize the vehicle and make you happy when you go out and see it. And that's valuable, I mean, to you. But don't expect, you know, to do certain things like changing all the wheels, for example, to aftermarket wheels. If you're buying an F-150 or a Silverado and you chuck your factory wheels and put on aftermarket wheels and you spend, you know, a bunch of money on tires and wheels and stuff like that, it's not going to add value to the vehicle. Matter of fact, it could hurt the value of the vehicle. And you don't think it will, and you don't care initially, but later on when you go to trade, they'll probably deduct for that because they want to put the factory wheels back on it. Most people want the factory wheels. So just a few things to do after you buy your vehicle. Okay, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I will be with you again tomorrow.